All right, so you want to know the secrets of inspiration, right? How to kickstart creativity? Well, get ready for this. We dove deep into your research, and it turns out there's this wild connection between things like visual art, music, and even movement, and sparking that creative energy.
It is funny, isn't it? We think about inspiration like it's this random thing, like, oh, it just hit me. But, you know, your sources suggest that we can be a lot more, I guess, proactive in finding it and even, like, cultivating it.
So we don't have to wait around for the muse to strike.
Exactly, yeah. And one of the things that really struck me was how much emphasis there was on that link between inspiration and, you know, actually doing something. It's not just a feeling, it's a driving force that propels you forward.
So it's about, like, doing, not just daydreaming.
Exactly. One source even said that a creative block is often the result of a lack of inspiration. It kind of flips the script on how we usually think about it.
So instead of being the result of creativity, inspiration is actually the thing that makes it happen.
That's it. It's like the fuel that gets the creative engine going.
I like that. So how do we fill up the tank with this inspiration fuel? Where do we find it?
Well, one source, they have this really cool metaphor. Inspiration is the soil, and creativity is the flower. You need that fertile ground to take root and blossom.
I can picture that. Yeah. So what kind of soil are we talking about? What makes for, like, fertile, inspirational ground?
The sources, they point to all sorts of places. Think about a memory, you know, one that brings up strong emotions, or the sound of rain, like on a window pane, or even just the smell of fresh bread.
Are you saying inspiration can come from, like, anything?
Sounds crazy, but yeah, one source even called it a breath of fresh air that can come from literally anywhere. Which, actually, if you think about it, the word inspiration comes from Latin, and it means to breathe in.
Whoa, I never made that connection before. So we're breathing in inspiration from around us.
That's it. And the really cool thing is, these sources don't just talk about inspiration in a vague way. They get into how to, you know, actually find it and cultivate it.
Okay, so let's get practical then. What are some things we can do to be more open to inspiration?
One source talked about understanding that it can come from both inside and outside of ourselves. Like, internal inspiration could be tapping into your memories, feelings, even dreams.
So it's about looking inward as well as outward.
Yes. And then externally, well, they talked about finding inspiration in nature, in art, in conversations with people, even just observing everyday life.
So being present, keeping our eyes and ears and, you know, minds open.
Exactly. But how do we turn those sparks into something real? What do we do with all this inspiration? Well, remember that link between inspiration and action? Several sources said that inspiration is most powerful when it actually leads to something, when it fuels the process of creativity.
So inspiration is the spark and creativity is the fire.
I like that, yeah. And the sources really emphasize that creativity is a process, not just, you know, a state of being artistic or talented.
Yeah.
It's about actually doing stuff, experimenting, making mistakes even, and learning as you go.
That makes sense. But I'm still kind of stuck on the difference between inspiration and creativity. Aren't they kind of the same?
Well, they're definitely connected. But one source, they said it like this. Inspiration is the initial spark, the aha moment. Creativity is the process of taking that spark and turning it into something real.
So inspiration is like the seed, and creativity is what grows from it.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
And one source actually used the example of lightning strike. Inspiration is like a sudden bolt of energy. Creativity is using that energy to actually, you know, build something.
Okay, that makes it much clearer. So inspiration gives us the initial idea, the push, the direction, and creativity is the process of making that happen.
Precisely. And one of the fascinating things is that the sources actually point to this really cool, like a cycle between the two.
Okay, tell me more about this cycle.
So we already talked about how inspiration fuels creativity, right?
Right.
But the sources suggest that creativity can actually drive inspiration. The more we engage in the creative process, the more inspired we become.
So it's like the more we create, the more inspired we get, and the more inspired we get, the more we create. It's like a feedback loop.
Yes. A feedback loop of awesomeness. I like that. It's this beautiful cycle.
This is making me want to go create something right now. But before I run off, can we talk about some specific techniques? You know, the ones the sources mentioned for, I guess, cultivating inspiration.
Oh, absolutely. One source talked about the importance of balancing focused action with actually taking breaks.
Wait, so taking breaks is good for creativity?
It sounds counterintuitive, but yeah. They say our minds need time to process all those inputs, you know, the inspirational stuff. Giving yourself downtime lets your subconscious work its magic and make connections.
So it's like, you know, stepping back from the canvas to let the paint dry, or closing your laptop and letting your brain mull things over.
Exactly. One source even described it as like clearing the mental clutter to make room for new inspiration.
I like that. Hitting the reset button on your creative brain.
Right. And this is where things get even more interesting. One of the sources described creative inspiration as this almost volatile energy.
Volatile energy. That sounds intense.
They talked about how it pushes you to take risks, to try new things, to create work that's really groundbreaking.
Right.
But they also said it can lead to burnout if you don't manage it.
So it's powerful, but we have to be careful with it.
Precisely. They even compared it to a wildfire. It can be destructive, you know, if it's not controlled. But when it's channeled correctly, it can be an incredible force.
I'm definitely feeling the heat from that analogy. So how do we manage this creative wildfire? What techniques did they suggest?
One thing they emphasized was the importance of having a vision, like a clear idea of what you want to create.
So it's like you need to know where you want to go before you set things on fire.
Exactly. And they suggested things like creating a vision board, writing down your goals, or even just visualizing what you want to achieve.
So it's about having a roadmap for your creative journey.
Right. They also talked about finding your tribe, you know, surrounding yourself with other creative people who get it, who can support and inspire you.
I love that. It's like having a team of firefighters to, you know, manage those creative flames.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of managing flames, they also really emphasize self-care.
Oh, self-care. That's something I definitely need to work on. What kind of self-care did they recommend?
Well, you know, the usual stuff, like getting enough sleep, eating well, moving your body, and spending time in nature. Basically, anything that helps you recharge your batteries. They said when you're burnt out, it's almost impossible to be creative.
Yeah, you can't create from an empty tank.
Exactly. And they also suggested things like meditation or mindfulness practices to help calm the mind and reduce stress.
So it's about finding that balance between pushing yourself creatively and giving yourself the space you need to thrive.
Precisely. And one source had a really interesting perspective on this balance. They talked about embracing the what they call the messy middle of the creative process.
The messy middle? What's that?
It's that stage where you're experimenting, you know, making mistakes, and things might feel kind of chaotic. But they said this is actually a super important part of the creative journey. That's where the magic happens.
So it's about letting go of perfectionism and being okay with the unknown.
Yes. They said true creativity often comes from those moments of, they called it productive struggle.
This is really making me think differently about how I approach creativity.
I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, one of the most interesting things from your research was the idea that inspiration can be found in, well, kind of unexpected places.
Yeah.
Like in our own senses.
Oh, yeah. I remember the sources talked about our senses being sources of inspiration. Can we dig into that a bit more?
Absolutely. And it's not just the obvious ones like visual art or music. They actually talk about how all five senses can be sources of inspiration.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, they started with visual art and how powerful it is to evoke emotions, to, you know, spark ideas, and even shift our perspectives. They suggested being around art that you find inspiring. Paintings, sculptures, photos, even just design elements.
I totally get that. Sometimes just walking through a museum or seeing a beautiful photograph can change my whole mood and get my creativity going.
Right. And they suggested being proactive about seeking out visual inspiration. Like creating your own visual landscape, so to speak.
So it's about choosing images and experiences that lift us up, not just passively consuming whatever's out there.
Exactly. And they don't stop there. They also talk about the power of words.
Oh, yeah, like getting lost in a good book.
Exactly. And they even suggested creating a word bank, like keeping a journal where you write down quotes, poems, song lyrics, anything that, you know, resonates with you.
Oh, I love that idea. It's like building your own little library of inspiration.
Exactly. And speaking of libraries, they also talked about the power of music, you know, to inspire action and creativity.
Really? I always thought of music as more of a background thing, something to listen to while I work. Are they saying it can actually be like a source of inspiration?
Absolutely. One source even suggested making playlists, you know, like of inspiration songs, music that energizes you, motivates you, and gets you into that creative flow.
I am totally making an inspiration playlist after this. What else did they have to say about the senses?
Well, this is where it gets even more interesting. They talk about the power of touch.
Touch? What does that have to do with creativity?
Well, think about it. Anything you create that's physical involves touch, whether it's painting, sculpting, playing an instrument, even writing.
Okay, but how does that actually inspire us?
They said engaging our sense of touch can ground us in the moment and make the creative process feel more real. You know, they suggested things like trying out different art materials, spending time in nature, or just paying attention to textures and sensations around you.
So connecting with the physical world through our sense of touch.
Exactly. And they said this can be especially helpful for people who get stuck in their heads, you know, or have trouble connecting with their creativity in a more, I guess, physical way.
That makes sense. It's like bringing those creative ideas out of our minds and into the real world.
Right. And one source even suggested just taking a moment to feel the texture of your clothes, the warmth of the sun, the coolness of a glass of water. They said it could be really grounding and inspiring.
It's like pressing reset on our senses and noticing the beauty around us.
Exactly. And that awareness, well, it feeds back into the creative process. It sparks new ideas.
This is reminding me of something we talked about earlier about moving our bodies to spark creativity.
Yes. And the sources go even deeper into that, suggesting that different kinds of movement can actually affect our creative thinking in different ways.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, for example, they talked about rhythmic movements mm-hmm. like walking, running, or swimming. They said those can be great for brainstorming. It's like the rhythm helps to clear your mind and make space for new ideas.
I definitely get my best ideas when I'm out for a walk or a run.
Right. And then for more expressive movements like dancing or yoga, they said those can help us tap into our emotions and intuition, which are great for, you know, expressing ourselves creatively.
It's like our bodies become a way to express those creative ideas, you know, things that words can't always capture.
Exactly. And finally, they said gentle movements like stretching or Tai Chi can help us feel more calm and focused, which is really important for keeping that creative energy going.
It's like choosing the right kind of movement to support your creativity, depending on what stage you're at.
Precisely. And speaking of supporting creativity, let's talk about smell, which is often overlooked but can actually be a powerful source of inspiration.
Smell. I'm curious. I hadn't really thought of that as being connected to inspiration before.
It's true. It's definitely the most overlooked sense. But the sources say it can be really powerful when it comes to bringing up memories, emotions, and even those creative sparks.
So certain smells can bring us back to a specific time or make us feel a certain way, and those feelings can then inspire us.
Exactly. And they suggested experimenting with aromatherapy, being around scents that make you feel good, or even just paying attention to the smells in your everyday life.
So it's about being more aware of the smells around us and how they make us feel.
Precisely. They said scents like lavender and chamomile can help you relax and focus, while citrus scents like lemon or grapefruit can boost energy and creativity.
I love that. It's like adding another dimension to your creative environment.
Right. They even suggested keeping a scent journal, where you write down what smells evoke certain emotions or memories for you.
It's like creating your own little collection of smells that inspire you.
Exactly. And by being more mindful of our sense of smell, we can actually use it to, to enhance our creativity and well-being.
This is amazing. I'm starting to see inspiration everywhere now in everything.
I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, all of these sensory experiences actually lead to something much bigger than just individual creativity. They can help us connect with something greater than ourselves.
Ooh, I like where this is going. Tell me more about that connection.
Well, one source had this beautiful passage where they talked about how inspiration can help us feel a sense of wonder and awe, like a feeling of being connected to something bigger than ourselves. And they said this feeling could be so powerful. It gives us a sense of purpose and meaning that's, you know, bigger than our individual lives.
That really resonates with me. It's like inspiration helps us see the world in a new way and remember that everything's connected.
Exactly. And they said cultivating a sense of wonder can actually be a source of inspiration itself. It's about approaching things with a beginner's mind, being curious and open to the unknown.
So it's like rediscovering that sense of wonder that we had as kids.
Exactly. And they said that that sense of wonder is everywhere, you know, in nature, art, music, in connecting with people, and even in the everyday things.
I love that. It's a reminder that inspiration is all around us.
Yeah, exactly. And as we continue to explore inspiration in part 3, we'll dive even deeper into how that sense of wonder and connection can fuel creativity and even, you know, help us make a positive impact on the world.
I can't wait.
Welcome back to our deep dive into inspiration. I'm excited to continue our conversation. Your sources have some incredible insights about not only how to find inspiration, but also why it's so important to really nurture it.
I'm ready to keep those sparks flying. What else did you find in your research?
One thing that really jumped out was how many sources talked about inspiration as a tool for problem solving. And not just in art, you know, it could help us with challenges and finding solutions in any part of life.
So inspiration isn't just for artists, it's for anyone who's facing like a tough situation.
Exactly. A lot of sources said that inspiration can lead to new solutions, you know, fresh perspectives, new ways of thinking to help us overcome obstacles and have those aha moments.
I love that. It's like inspiration gives us a whole new way of looking at things, helps us see solutions we might have missed before.
Precisely. And one source even suggested that inspiration is directly linked to resilience. When we're open to inspiration, we're better at adapting to change and bouncing back from setbacks.
That makes sense. It's like inspiration gives us this extra energy and resourcefulness to keep going when things are tough.
Right. And remember how we talked about taking action in part one? Well, the sources emphasize that we don't have to just, you know, wait around for inspiration to hit us. We can actually, like, actively cultivate it using certain techniques.
Okay, I'm all yours. What techniques are we talking about?
One source suggested using vision boards, you know, as a powerful tool for manifesting your goals, your dreams, your aspirations. It's about creating this visual representation of what you want to achieve.
Vision boards, I love those. It's like creating a tangible roadmap for your dreams.
Exactly. And the source emphasized that it's not just about pretty pictures. It's about really connecting with your deepest desires and using those visuals to, like, keep your inspiration going and stay focused on what you want to create.
It's like having a daily reminder of your goals, keeping that inspirational fire burning bright. What else did the sources suggest?
Meditation was a big one. A lot of sources talked about it as a way to quiet the mind and make space for inspiration to kind of bubble up.
That's so true. Our minds are so full of noise, it's hard to hear those little whispers of inspiration sometimes.
Exactly. And meditation helps us, I guess, clear out that mental clutter.
So it's like hitting pause on the chaos and reconnecting with our creative side.
Yes. One source even described it as watering the seeds of inspiration, like creating the right conditions for those seeds to grow.
I love that analogy. It makes it feel much more doable, you know?
And speaking of doable, a lot of the sources emphasized how important it is to align your creative endeavors with your passions. They argue that when you're doing something you genuinely love, well, it becomes a source of joy and inspiration on its own.
It's like when you're excited about something, the inspiration just flows naturally.
Exactly. One source had this great quote, "Passion is the fuel that ignites the fire of inspiration." It's about finding those things that, you know, light you up, make you feel alive.
The things that make you lose track of time, you know, where you get so absorbed you forget about everything else.
Exactly. And they suggest taking time to think about what those things are for you. You know, what makes your heart sing? What would you do even if you weren't getting paid for it?
It's like finding your own creative fingerprint, the things that make you come alive.
Exactly. And once you've figured out what those passions are, then it's about finding ways to, you know, work them into your creative projects.
So it's about finding that sweet spot where your passions and your creative work overlap.
Exactly. And this doesn't mean you have to, like, quit your job and chase your passions all the time. It's about being creative and finding ways to bring those things you love into your everyday life, your work, even your hobbies.
It's like sprinkling those sparks of joy throughout your day, no matter what you're doing.
Exactly. And one source even said that, you know, even ordinary tasks can become inspiring if you approach them with a sense of curiosity, maybe even playfulness.
It's like seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary, changing your perspective.
Right. And speaking of extraordinary, let's get back to those senses and how they can be these unexpected sources of inspiration.
Yes. Tell me more about how our senses can spark our creativity. Where do we start?
One source really dove into the power of words. You know, they suggested being around inspiring words, whether it's quotes, poems, song lyrics, even just phrases that resonate with you. They said words have this amazing power to make us feel things, shift our perspective, and even motivate us to take action.
It's like having a soundtrack of inspiring words for your creative journey.
Exactly. And they suggested writing down inspiring words or phrases you come across in a journal, like making your own personal dictionary of inspiration.
Oh, I love that. It's like collecting little nuggets of inspiration to look back on whenever you need a boost.
And speaking of boosts, lots of sources mentioned music, how it can inspire action and creativity. He said music can evoke all these different emotions, energize us, and even help us concentrate.
It's so true. I definitely notice a difference in my mood and how much I get done, depending on what kind of music I'm listening to.
Right. They suggested trying different kinds of music, seeing what works best for you. Some people find that upbeat music helps them get into that creative flow, while others prefer something more calming and meditative to help them focus.
It's like finding the perfect soundtrack for your creative process.
Exactly. And one source even suggested making playlists for different moods or activities, like a playlist for brainstorming, one for writing, one for editing, and so on.
That's a great idea, like having a personalized DJ for your creative journey.
And speaking of personalized, let's talk about touch and how it can be a powerful source of inspiration.
Touch. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, the sources said that using our sense of touch can help us be more present and make the creative process feel more tangible, more real. They suggested trying out different art materials, spending time in nature, or even just noticing the textures and sensations around you.
So it's about connecting with the physical world through our sense of touch.
Exactly. And they said this is especially helpful for people who tend to get stuck in their heads or who have a hard time connecting with their creativity on a more, I guess, physical level.
I get that. It's like bringing your ideas from your mind into the real world.
Right. One source even suggested taking a moment to just feel, you know, the texture of your clothes, the warmth of the sun, the coolness of a glass of water. They said it can be really grounding and inspiring.
It's like a reset for your senses. You start to notice the beauty around you again.
Exactly. And then that awareness feeds back into the creative process. It gives you new ideas.
This reminds me of what we talked about earlier about using movement to spark creativity.
Yes. And the sources went deeper into that, saying that different types of movement can have different effects on how we think creatively.
Okay. I want to hear more.
For example, they talked about rhythmic movements like walking, running, or swimming. They said those can be great for brainstorming and coming up with new ideas. So like the rhythm kind of clears out your head and makes room for fresh perspectives.
I know. I get my best ideas when I'm out walking or running.
Right. And then there are more expressive movements like dancing or yoga. And they said those can help us tap into our emotions and intuition, which is great for creative expression.
It's like our bodies become this way to express our creativity, you know, to say things that words can't.
Exactly. And lastly, they mentioned gentle movements like stretching or Tai Chi, which can help us feel calm and focused. And that's important for, you know, keeping our creative energy going over time.
It's like there's a perfect kind of movement for every stage of the creative process.
Precisely. And speaking of nurturing creativity, let's talk about smell. It's often overlooked, but it can be a powerful source of inspiration.
Smell. I'm really curious about this one. I've never really considered smell as a source of inspiration.
Right. It's definitely the sense we tend to forget about. But the sources said it can be incredibly strong when it comes to bringing back memories, emotions, and even triggering creative ideas.
So certain smells can take us back to a specific moment or make us feel a certain way, and those feelings can then inspire us.
Exactly. And they suggested things like trying out aromatherapy, surrounding yourself with scents you enjoy, and just paying attention to the smells you encounter in your daily life.
So it's about being more aware of the smells around us and how they affect us.
Precisely. They mentioned scents like lavender and chamomile, which can help you relax and focus, and citrus scents like lemon and grapefruit, which can boost energy and creativity.
I like that. It's like adding a whole new dimension to your creative space.
Yeah. Right. They even suggested keeping a scent journal, like writing down what smells evoke certain emotions or memories for you.
That's so cool. It's like making your own little library of scents that inspire you.
Exactly. And by paying more attention to our sense of smell, we can actually start using it to boost our creativity and well-being.
This is mind-blowing. I'm starting to see the world in a whole new light, a world full of sensory inspiration just waiting to be discovered.
I'm so glad to hear that. You know, all of these sensory experiences actually contribute to something bigger than just, you know, individual creativity. They help us connect with something larger than ourselves.
Oh, I love where this is going. Tell me more about this connection.
Well, one source had this beautiful part where they talked about how inspiration can make us feel wonder and awe. You know, like a feeling of being connected to something vast and mysterious. And they said this feeling can be so powerful. It gives us a sense of purpose and meaning that goes beyond, you know, just our own individual lives.
That really speaks to me. It's like inspiration helps us see the world with fresh eyes and remember how everything is connected.
Exactly. And they said that nurturing a sense of wonder can actually be a source of inspiration in itself. It's about looking at things with a beginner's mind, being curious and open to the unknown.
So, like, rediscovering that childlike sense of wonder we often lose as we grow up.
Exactly. And they said you can find that sense of wonder everywhere, in nature, art, music, human connection, even in those everyday moments.
I love that. It's a reminder that we're surrounded by inspiration. We just have to be open to it.
Exactly. And as we wrap up our deep dive in part three, we're going to explore even more about how this sense of wonder and connection can feed our creativity and even help us make the world a better place.
I can't wait to hear more. All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into inspiration. And wow, I'm still processing all those incredible insights we've uncovered. It's amazing how much there is to learn about something, you know, we often take for granted.
I know, right? And we're not done yet. Your sources had even more to offer, especially when it comes to understanding how inspiration connects to personal growth and making a real difference in the world.
Okay, I'm so ready for this. What else did you find that can help us unlock that potential?
One of the most powerful things I took away was this idea that inspiration isn't just, you know, a fleeting feeling. It can actually be a force for positive change.
So it's not just about feeling good. It's about doing good, too.
Exactly. And one source, they connected inspiration with the idea of flow state. Mm. You know, that feeling of being totally absorbed in something where time just flies by.
Oh, I love being in flow state. It's like everything just clicks and you're at your best. But how does that connect to inspiration?
Well, they suggested that inspiration can actually lead to flow state. When you're inspired, you're more likely to be engaged, you know, energized and motivated, and that naturally makes the experience more immersive and productive.
That makes sense. Inspiration gives us the spark, and then flow state helps us really fan those flames and get things done.
Exactly. And they said, the more we cultivate inspiration in our lives, the easier it becomes to get into that flow state, which leads to more productivity, more creativity, and, you know, overall well-being.
So it's a win-win. We feel inspired, A&D, get more done. I like it. But what about making a positive impact on the world? How does inspiration fit into that?
Well, one source said something really profound that stuck with me. Inspiration is contagious.
Ooh, I love that. So, like, when one person is inspired, it can spread to others and create this ripple effect.
Exactly. Think about a time when you were really inspired by, I don't know, maybe someone's story, a piece of art, even just an act of kindness. Did it make you want to go out and do something good too?
Totally. It's like inspiration has this power to lift us up and make us believe that anything is possible.
Right. And they said when we share our own stories of inspiration, you know, through what we say, what we do, or our creative work, we can inspire others and make the world, well, a more positive place.
That's a beautiful thought. It's making me want to go out and share everything we've been talking about with everyone.
That's the spirit. And, you know, it all comes back to something we talked about before, aligning your creativity with your values.
Right, because when you create from a place of authenticity and purpose, it really connects with other people and inspires them.
Exactly. And one source said, when your passion and purpose are aligned with your creativity, well, your inspiration becomes like a beacon of light for others.
I love that image. It's like our inspiration can guide others to find their own spark and make a difference.
Exactly. And speaking of guiding, we've talked a lot about techniques for finding inspiration, but one source talked about something I think is key for taking that inspiration and, you know, turning it into something real.
Oh, okay. I'm all ears. What's the secret?
They called it intentional action.
Mm.
It's about going beyond that initial spark and actually taking steps to, you know, bring those ideas to life.
So it's not enough to just feel inspired. We have to do something with it.
Exactly. They said inspiration without action is like a seed that never gets planted. It might have potential, but it won't grow without the right conditions.
That's a great analogy. So how do we create the right conditions for our ideas to grow? What does intentional action look like?
They said it starts with setting clear intentions, like knowing what you want to create and why.
So being specific about our goals and the impact we want to make.
Right. And breaking down those big goals into smaller, manageable steps.
It's like making a roadmap for your creative journey with checkpoints along the way.
Exactly. And they also emphasized accountability, like having someone to support you, a friend, a mentor, someone who can keep you motivated.
It's like having your own personal cheerleader, someone to remind you why you're doing it and to keep going when it gets tough.
Exactly. And the most important thing they said is that intentional action is about showing up consistently, even when you, you know, don't feel inspired. They said inspiration often comes after we start taking action.
So sometimes we just have to take that first step, even if we don't feel particularly inspired at that moment.
Precisely. They said by taking action, we create momentum, and that momentum often leads to more inspiration. Then that inspiration fuels more action, and it creates this upward spiral.
I love this idea of an upward spiral of inspiration and action. It's like the more we create, the more inspired we get, and the more inspired we get, the more we create.
Exactly. And that's how we turn those fleeting moments of inspiration into something lasting.
This has been such an amazing journey. I feel like I have a whole new understanding of what inspiration is and how to use it to create a life that feels, you know, meaningful and fulfilling.
It's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
And to all of you listening, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you're leaving feeling energized, inspired, and ready to take action.
And as you embark on your own creative journey, remember to ask yourself, what truly lights you up? What are you passionate about? And how can you use that passion to make a positive impact?
Because the world needs your creativity. Until next time, keep those creative sparks flying.